Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is not Vicky Barcelona. She's on assignment.
Yes, she
was attacked by the plants, like in The Happening.
Yeah.
And allergies have wrecked her, and I really didn't want to hear her squeaking through the podcast.
No, she's going to be. She can be out for a little bit.
Yeah, she'll be fine, but we don't have her. But you just heard we got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
And that's all you need.
Is it? Because running the boards is Joey D's.
Hey, hello.
I guess we need him too.
Yeah, we need everyone here.
Fine.
On today's show, we will get into the great debate because it's a show on sci-fi, and I talk with Baron Vaughn, who is the host of that.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
BJ's been watching some television shows, so yeah, we're going to get into those, maybe a season finale and some interesting developments in another favorite. Mm-hmm. No geek sheet because, yeah, whatever. And we'll get to the more.
Wow. Take that.
More. And yes, all of that. Hey, me. How can people get a hold of us? Well, they can do so by going to bjgeeknation.com, which has all of our information on podcasts, articles, and more.
More.
Thank you. Hit up all of our social media. You can find it all at bjgeeknation.com or send us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. Lots of ways to get a hold of us. And if you would like to give us a 5-star review on however which way you listen to us, Apple Podcasts and all those other fun things, please do so. Maybe we'll get you something eventually. Like I said, like all those random fun free comics that I have.
I love random comic books.
Right? All you have to do, I mean, it's free, but you got to put in a little bit of work. Write us a review. Let me know that you wrote us a review, and I'll pull a random comic book out and send it right to you. Let's get right into the great debate, which is on sci-fi. It actually aired last night, but you can find it right on their website as well. And it happens every Thursday night at 11 p.m. And you know what? I'm not going to waste any more time explaining it when I've got Mr. Baron Vaughn here to talk about it.
The show is The Great Debate, which is on sci-fi, starting on June 18th at 11 p.m. And I love the fact that this is one of those shows that actually started off more as a panel, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. It was a panel at a bunch of different events around the country, mostly Comic-Cons, various Comic-Cons, but also a couple different film festivals and I think some comedy festivals and stuff like that. I had the pleasure of being a panelist in South by Southwest. What?
I saw that one, man, and it was hilarious, just the fact that...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I loved how you were... They said that you didn't win when you were talking about who would be a worse boss between Vader and the Joker, but I thought you had some really, really, really good points when it comes down to the social distancing of Vader and how he can still really affect you.
Well, that's great. I have a very different feeling about that these days.
Really?
There's more Star Wars movies that have come out. But you know, there's something about, I do hate that you can't get away from Vader. You are stuck on that ship, and that's as good as it gets. Like, you know, Vader could essentially, if you were, say you were asleep. I don't know what kind of sleeping situation they have on something like the Death Star. I would assume it's a very awkward bunk bed. Militaristic bunk bed.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, at a moment's notice, Vader could just kick your door down. He doesn't even have to kick. He could just move it with his mind and be like, get up, time to clean the toilet. You know, you never know. You never know what he's going to come at you with. Make me Egg Benedict. You're like, oh my goodness.
Why are you making me do all of these
quarantine
things?
Exactly.
And so with the great debate, you're going to be hosting. Now, are you acting as a moderator, or are you actually just asking the questions and letting the panelists go at it? Is it like a back and forth, a one-on-one like it was on the panels?
It's a little of both, yes. I am going to be a moderator. I mean, I introduce all the different subjects and people and stuff like that, but I also will make sure that the debate remains civil and ordered, and that nothing will come to fisticuffs.
You kind of hope it doesn't, but I mean, to be perfectly honest, some people are really, really passionate about the fandoms that they have.
Exactly. That's why I think people will really connect with the show, you know, because it brings up a lot of questions, you know, that you may have or may not have thought about. But we try to be clever with the way that we bring it up, or even which characters of a very popular franchise we focus the subject on. So it's like, that's the kind of stuff that's going to come up. And again, these are the kinds of things that people love to talk about, very passionate about, very strong points. And I think that people who have always felt passionate about nerd culture, if you will, especially defending their stance on whatever they love, we'll love the show, because that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, and you are bringing some heavy hitters in the celebrity world. Two of my favorites have been Aisha Tyler. Some people know her from Archer or Whose Line Is It Anyway? And she's such a massive nerd that it's super cool to be able to see her be able to just geek out about stuff. Watching that video from South by Southwest, how she got mad at one of the panelists talking about Metallica and even like saying anything bad about one of her favorite metal bands was actually... It was amazing.
I think that was actually Dave Holmes too. So Dave Holmes is no stranger to, you know, music, especially not metal. If I remember correctly, that was about which metal band has the dumbest name.
Yeah.
And so he said Metallica, which of course, I want to say there was an audible gasp in the audience at some point.
Well, and it's one of those, because they're one of those institutions. I mean, like, if you look at like thrash metal and like the monument, the Rushmore monument about that, it's going to be, they're going to be up there. So just to be able to do that and talk crap and then get some blowback from the panelists immediately was hilarious.
Now, he didn't say anything about whether or not they're good. He just said their name is dumb.
Right. Okay?
But that said, you know, you mentioned Mount Rushmore, a lot of great presidents up there, but Teddy Roosevelt, that's a stupid name.
Teddy, are you gonna disrespect the teddy bear, the man who created the teddy bear, sir?
Yes, indeed. I'm so sorry. You should have went by Theodore. That's all I got.
Exactly. Another person I thought is going to be cool on this also is Orlando Jones, who people may know from American Gods. And his performance during that second season and the fact that he did so much work behind the scenes to really make that come to fruition. The level of respect, I've always loved him as an actor, but it went just so much higher at that point, too.
Yeah, Orlando's fantastic, and he was fantastic on the show because he's so silly. That he was on a couple episodes, but I feel like there was one with him and Aisha that was really, really wild, and it was a really fun time. Orlando's also in one of my favorite movies of all time, a movie that I don't think people watch enough.
Ooh.
You know, and this is exactly the kind of nerd stuff that I'm talking about. It's called Evolution. Do you remember this movie?
Oh, yeah! Oh, that movie was amazing!
Exactly. It was a little bit ahead of its time. I think people were confused what to think about it when it came out, but it was David Duchovny and Orlando Jones. Who else was in it? Julianne Moore, a bunch of different
people.
Great, great movie, and it's in that tradition of Ghostbusters, in the sense that it's a bit sci-fi, but it's comedy, but mm-hmm. It's not making fun of the sci-fi. So it has a real story, you know. It's kind of like what Simon Pegg and Nick Frost do. You know, like Shaun of the Dead isn't making fun of zombie movies. It is a zombie movie.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just funny.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I think that Evolution.
I need to go back and watch that one because it's been a while since I've watched that. So I'm really, that's amazing. Now, also, people, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you are Tom Servo on the MST3K, the return of it. And so I need to ask you, what's it like playing a modified gumball machine?
Well, first, it's an honor and a pleasure. No, I mean, what can I say? It's a dream come true to be involved in that show, you know, and to work with my good friends Jonah Ray and Hampton Young. Jonah Ray was also on a couple episodes of The Great Bait.
Oh, nice.
So you'll be able to see his tall self on the screen as well. But, you know, the biggest thing about MST3K is that Joel Hodgson was involved, you know, from the very start. And I think that was a big thing for the fans. They were reluctant to take it at first because they were unsure if it was people who actually liked and respected the old show or if it was just a bunch of people who were going to turn it into something that was unrecognizable to them. Because, as we know, that always happens. That happens a lot with a lot of different, you know, properties and and things that we like, where somebody who doesn't care, who cares that it was popular,
yeah,
comes along and is like, oh, I could milk money out of this, instead of there being real love for the material and the people that made it.
Yeah, and just going back and watching that on Netflix, it was fantastic. I love that. Again, it's The Great Debate on Sci-Fi starting June 18th at 11 p.m. Guys, check it out. Watch this. Get into those nerd fights with your friends as you're all watching it as well. And before I let you go, Baron, I also noticed on your Twitter that you've got something going on with Funny or Die called Call and Response. And I'd love for you to put a little bit of the word out on that as well.
Well, you know, I don't want to say it's the opposite of nerd culture, but, you know, basically my friend Open Mike Eagle and I, you know, who he's been sort of my co-host comedy partner over the last couple of years, we were approached by Funny or Die to do this very ambitious project. I almost look at it like a special, mm-hmm. in which we are going to basically every day for 2 weeks hold, I would call it like almost like a community meeting, in which we have invited all kinds of different people to speak and to talk with us about what's happening in the world right now. You know, mm-hmm. what's happening in the world in terms of civil rights. You know, obviously we all are familiar with what's going on in the streets, having to do with the Black Lives Matter movement, but also, you know, how all of that connects to the bigger picture of what's going on with the pandemic, you know, what's going on with the administration, what's going on, just like, there's all kinds of cray, 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 cray stuff going on. So The Great Debate is a great way to, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, let me add. There is nothing wrong with having a little escape. There is nothing wrong with feeling a little joy mm-hmm. and having a laugh. Because that's what life is actually all about. All of these injustices, any injustice, is in the way of us just being able to relax and have a laugh. That's the way I see it. So call and response is a way of being able to talk about those things, you know, with humor and love. But Great Debate is being able to not talk about those things and still be okay. You know what I mean? Like still exactly. live our lives and have a good time talking about stuff we enjoy.
Exactly. I think both conversations are equally important. I think, well, the first the conversation with call and response is way more important. But like you said, the escape is the big thing on that. And where else can you escape but with The Great Debate? I love it. Thank you so much, Baron. Again, The Great Debate on Sci-Fi starting June 18th at 11 p.m. Seriously, thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Indeed. It was an honor, and I hope to be back some other day.
Appreciate it, Baron. Take care.
I'm pretty excited to actually get in and see how these are going because I watched, like I said in the interview, their South by Southwest one. And this is something that they've been doing for a while at Comic-Cons. So when you can't go to a Comic-Con because they're just not happening at this point in time, or they're just doing all of their online stuff, it's kind of fun to be able to get and talk and argue or at least watch people argue about some of the funnest things ever.
And it's fun that I didn't realize Baron was part of the geek culture.
Yeah.
Because I've loved him in Grace and Frankie.
So, which is funny. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. So Bud on Grace and Frankie. And it's really entertaining to just put out those, like, we all have that who's the better captain, Kirk or Picard. But it's kind
Janeway, of... Janeway, don't forget, I don't want to hear from, Kayla LaFrance, the queen of the nerds.
Yep, yep.
She captain will say Janeway is the best, man.
And that's the one thing, too. It's like, but they put it on its head. It's like, well, actually, look at it this way. Between Janeway and Picard, we'll just go with those two, BJ.
Yes, number one.
Which one do you think would be a better boss?
A better boss?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because that's how they put the spin on these. It's not who would be better. It's like, well, how, like, would it, like, because
I gotta go with, then I'm gonna go with Sisko, because he did get he was made a captain.
Out of left field.
Yeah, he was made a captain, I think, in season 4.
And you've been binging DS9.
Yeah, I have, and I'm really, Sisko's a good boss, because he had to deal with DS9, which was a ragtag, everybody's at the space station, and they've made a lot of points about how it's different being on a starship than it is being on, commanding a space station, and he's got to work with all those people, and I think a boss is really great with the amount of people they work for and how they manage. I got to give it to, but Janeway had to get the Maquis, and she had to get the Federation guys together since they were stuck in the Delta Quadrant. And they hated each other, and they were on the same ship. Like, Chakotay was, like, the leader of the Maquis, and I forget what Janeway did to make that happen, so that could make her a good boss.
Well, and also, but also, wasn't it, well, I don't know whose fault it was that got them so stranded so far away. I mean, but she's the captain, and I don't know if I want the captain, you know, I don't want my captain to be the one that got me lost in the darkest reaches of space.
Yeah. these are all tough questions, and I think I'm going to lean towards Sisko, but again, I'm going to start binge watching Voyager after I binge watch Deep Space Nine. So that in another year or however long it takes me to get through the seven seasons of DS9, I might change it and go, you know what? On second thought, Janeway's a better boss.
What season are you on now?
I am on season four, halfway through.
All right.
And I just watched perhaps it's the Data's Cat episode of DS9.
Oh, no.
Worf is on trial for this dumbest thing.
Oh, yeah. Worf ended up there.
Season four, he popped over there. He's on trial. It was a filler episode. It took place basically just in the briefing room of DS9. The entire episode was just like, oh, this is so filler.
And that was some of the problems I had with DS9. I never got into the huge war that they had in the later seasons. I watched like the first two or three seasons, and to me as a kid, it was boring. Like the difference between you're talking about a space station and a starship. Space station isn't exploring anything. You're stuck there all of the time. And no matter how interesting it was, you weren't going to strange new worlds to seek out new lives and new civilizations. You're boldly staying exactly where you are.
Well, then they got the Defiant in season three-ish, I think. The end of season three, they got the Defiant. And that was that fun little ship that was very maneuverable and was overpowered and had phasers that were just ridiculously powerful and 8 million quantum torpedoes, and the Defiant really did change how that show was, because then they started going places.
Okay. Then
And if you go online, there's a quintessential Deep Space Nine story arc, like episode guide, so you can skip all the filler.
Good.
People argue that Deep Space Nine perhaps is the best story arc Star Trek series ever.
Whoa.
After season two.
Well, again, you're right, because season two really isn't part of it. There exactly. might have been one or two season two episodes that actually mention the Dominion, and that's the idea. You just mm-hmm. only all you care about is the Dominion.
Yeah.
And season two started hinting at the Dominion, but that's why if you check online, somebody will tell you, here are all the episodes you should watch, and you will probably skip out of season one completely. Maybe two episodes in season two, and yeah.
Yeah, season one and two is like Friends in Space. And then season three, they're like, okay, well, we should probably be a Star Trek show.
We should
now.
Finally do something.
Yeah, and the Dominions are really, I would say now with today's, like a lot of stuff that we're experiencing today with what we're trying to do with our own nation and heal a lot of problems, you can see, like watching the Dominion and watching how they be, it's like, whoa.
Wow.
It's like, there's a lot of lessons I think that can be learned, which is what Star Trek was so good at.
And between that, you've been watching a lot of other television as well.
Sure have.
The season finale of Vagrant Queen.
Yeah.
And
it's not because I didn't like it.
Oh.
It's because I found out that not everybody else liked it. Didn't get good ratings, and there may not be a season two.
Oh.
I'm really sad. They wrapped it up, which is nice. They did wrap up season one's major story, which at least I love how shows do that, but they still left a cliffhanger for what could have been season two. The characters really grew on me. You know, it saddens me that for whatever reason, this just didn't get better ratings. I know at least we talked about it on our show, and I wanted to see it. And there was some cool stuff that happened towards the end of the season, and it was way over the top, very cartoony, but I feel like it was emulating the graphic novel. And if you love the graphic novel, which I think a lot of people must have because they ended up making a series on it, I don't know why the graphic novel fans didn't really find this and love this. Or unless it wasn't good to them, maybe it wasn't like the graphic novel, but I really liked it a lot. I'm going to miss it. It was really a fun show, and especially as it got towards the end, the characters started feeling at home with each other, and I started feeling at home with the characters, and I'm really going to miss them. I hope somehow, some way, somebody says, let's give this another season and let's see what's going on. But hey, if you just want to watch a complete show and see a really cool, over-the-top villain and a threesome of people who go out and just, you know, defy all odds with crazy episodes and lots of, it's, you know, you got your monster of the week. week with a story arc like the old Star Treks used to be. Mm-hmm. Only 10-episode season.
Oh, that's good.
And I think good makeup. Again, over-the-top makeup. I mean, it really is. They were like, look, this is a big comic book we're putting on your screen about sci-fi things.
Yeah.
And everything was way over-the-top, but I really think it was like, it was almost like, what if they took the people that made the 1960s Batman and did a sci-fi show?
Oh.
That's what it... It has a lot of camp to it, too. Okay. And the colors are bright. And really, it's
So it's not dystopian future sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it has a lot of 1980s-sounding music. And, of course, I was in my 20s in the 80s, so it was fun to hear that. And I know you like the 80s
music. Oh, I love 80s music so much. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's got those bright colors that the 80s had, too. I liked it. It was on Sci-Fi. You probably can get it on demand because the season finale mm-hmm. and maybe even the series finale just happened a couple weeks ago. So,
and
yeah.
To be honest,
Vagrant Queen, yes.
At this point, as of June 15th was the last time that there was some news on this. The news was there's no news because it has not been canceled, nor has it been renewed.
Yeah, so I'm happy to
hear
that.
So we don't know what's going
to
happen.
I went a little further than that story, Rev, and found out that people go, oh yeah, it's got no ratings, people don't like
it,
blah, blah, blah.
They're not saying, they're saying it didn't get a whole lot of ratings.
But... You know, I mean, I think this is one of those shows that you just, you know, right now with the way the world is and everything, and you want a lot of fun mm-hmm. and a lot of goofiness and a lot of camp, I think this is it.
It's so tough now to get a second season when you have the whole COVID thing going on, especially if you're not getting good, you know, great ratings, right? Like, yeah. You know, if you have a show that people love and they're already addicted to, you know, you're good. But now it's like, geez, you have to push through all that and deal with the, you know.
I don't know what sci-fi is going to do because yeah. Peacock is coming out with their Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's right.
And that show Brave New World, which I believe is based on Aldous Huxley's book, and it's just gonna be a series.
And that's going to be coming out in like July, like mid-July or so.
Yeah, Netflix, I just noticed, I don't know how old it is, but they have a War of the Worlds series.
Oh, a whole series?
I don't know how good it is, but and maybe it's not that good if nobody's really talking about it. but yeah, and I don't want to give too much time to something that may or may not, because because I'm, you know, Vicky turned me on to Doom Patrol, and she was right. That is such a great show, too. So there's a lot out there.
There's like so Joe much said, TV out
there's
there.
There's a lot of competition. It is tough for us. But I look at sci-fi like, well, what's your signature series going to be? So...
That's a really good point on that one. Another show that you've been watching has been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And I read an article on Comic Book Resources that said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just made its Season 7 villains even more powerful.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the Chronicoms are basically robots that look like humans and have the ability to absorb another human's face, and that's how they...
Ooh.
Yeah, and so you're left faceless and pretty much dead as they assume your form in order to do their nefarious plot, which is they're trying to stop S.H.I.E.L.D. from happening. If they can stop S.H.I.E.L.D. from happening...
Oh, the old go back in time, kill Hitler sort of thing.
And the thing is they are going to different pivotal points in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s history to stop him from happening, but they only have one shot to do it. And our fearless heroes are able to follow them in the time stream and foil them in the 30s, and they recently foiled them in the 50s. And it's been a lot of fun to just watch this romp of a goodbye season. I really, really like it. It's very fun. The only complaint I would have is that I'm just tired of a hero that has powers that basically can't use their powers for some reason. Yo-yo.
Oh, are they doing that again?
But yeah, so I mean, I know they're ground level, and it really frustrates me. And I guess it's a budget thing, I guess. I mean, I don't know how much special effects goes into Yo-Yo running quickly and then bounce it back again. you know, I mean, Agent May is sort of like a death machine, but she's human, but she's kind of like had something happen to her, but she's a really good fighter, but she's got no memory, or she does, but she doesn't care about stuff anymore. Phil Coulson is an LMD, so he's got superpower, which is kind of fun to watch. But then, you know, Quake is usual Quake. For some reason... I don't know. She doesn't quake much. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, she could bring down entire buildings. That seems kind of dangerous.
I guess. It seems like she has handheld quake abilities, and she's able to push people across the room, so it seems like she has the ability to do it.
Mm.
I mean, maybe they explained it a couple seasons ago that maybe it would hurt her a lot. But, you know, when I see Daisy kicking people and doing martial arts, I'm like, you know, you could just quake these. I mean, you're gosh darn quake. And now that, you know, with Yo-Yo going... Yeah, for some reason I can't yo-yo. You know, and I'm just like, all right, well, I mean, it's still fun anyway, though. No fits so far. I'm missing
like,
fits.
Not at all?
Yeah, and I don't read the stories to know, like, off screen what's going on if he's not even going to be on this season. I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed that he'll show up somewhere.
It seems so weird, though.
Yeah, because Gemma, you know, I mean, but here's the cool episode, dude. Mm. We got to see Daniel Sousa, who, of course, was the partner for Peggy Carter in the Peggy Carter series.
Oh, yeah!
Because they went to the 50s. Gemma was able to sneak him into this secret base by saying she was Peggy Carter, not knowing that Daniel Sousa was going to visit the base, too. And, of course, he knows who the real Peggy Carter is. And that was a lot of fun. And it was good to see him again. He's a good dude.
I loved Peggy Carter. Like, the wife and I, like, I wasn't too into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but absolutely adored Peggy Carter. I think part of it was the nostalgia, the old early times and that sort of thing. Yeah, and then also just the fact that Peggy Carter is such a strong female, and just being able to really stand up in the face of the old. I mean, even nowadays, it's still not the best, but even just the old sexism that she had to deal with, and going through all of that, it was cool to see her journey on that.
And I would say to people like you, who you know, there's been a lot going on in the world of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you know, this is their last season. You could go read a summary somewhere of what you've missed, maybe from the last couple of seasons if you want, or even, you know, like I like to do is I'll just go previously and just catch up on a couple of things.
Totally.
I really think this is a fun season, and the concept is simple, is that there are bad guys that they have to travel through time to catch. Something is wrong with May due to what happened to her last season. Some aliens got inside her head. Phil's dead, and they made an LMD of him. And Max in charge, and Fitz is missing, and they've been able to turn their Zephyr into a time traveling ship. That's all you need to know.
Oh, thanks.
To watch the last season and have a fun time.
And that's the thing too. It's like going back in time, and if they're doing it's like a best of sort of like farewell tour sort of thing. Yeah. And that's fun to do as well and see through that.
So and it's really good. Yeah. And S.H.I.E.L.D. has increasingly gotten better season after season after season. And a lot of folks, like I've said before, says because they were able to finally cut ties to the sinking of the timeline for the Avengers movies. They don't have to worry about that anymore. And the show got better because of it. I'm enjoying it. I really have liked all the episodes. It's fun to see them in different times of the past. Like it's kind of like watching Doctor Who of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're traveling through time.
That's funny. Moving on from that, and this is the last thing before we get out of here, like I said, no geek sheet with Vicky B, but this is a story for her and all of us because we have all enjoyed The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yes.
It's coming back for season 2.
Oh, yes.
And they just dropped the synopsis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's a little apocalyptic on this one. Five warned his family so many times that using his powers to escape from Vanya's 2019 apocalypse was risky. Well, he was right. The time jump scatters the siblings in time in and around Dallas, Texas.
Oh.
Over a 3-year period. Starting in 1960, some have been stuck in the past for years, having built lives and moved on, certain that they were the only ones who survived. Five is the last to land smack dab in the middle of a nuclear doomsday, which, spoiler alert, turns out to be a result of the group's disruption of the timelines. Deja vu, anyone?
Yep.
Now the Umbrella Academy must find a way to reunite, figure out what caused the doomsday, put a stop to it, and return to the present timeline to stop that other apocalypse. All while being hunted by a trio of ruthless Swedish assassins. But seriously, no pressure or anything.
So are they? Are they the time assassins that worked for the place that that Five used to work for? Yeah. And you betrayed them. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Was it Cha Cha and?
It was Cha Cha.
I can't remember who the first person's name was.
I know.
Was.
Yeah. Both of those guys were so great.
They really were.
And so I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing with this. So
it was always a fun comic, and they did such a great job with the show.
Yep. And there are currently, if you want to go check out the graphic novels, there's 3 volumes of the Umbrella
Hazel
Academy.
And Cha-Cha.
Hazel. Woo! Thank you so much. With the second one aptly being named Dallas. Now, another weird thing about that, too, is that I think the second volume had the time cops in them, but they put those in the first season, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how they mix all of those together and continue all of that. It'll be fun to see a lot how that is going down, and even just going back and experiencing the Umbrella Academy again, I know that's one of the ones that Vicky will absolutely just put on the background to watch over and over and over again.
May have to binge it.
The soundtrack is fantastic.
Yeah.
It, like you were talking about 80s music, it's the same sort of throwback to that one.
And I got to 4K TV and the 4K Apple TV, so
fancy.
I might do it.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.